Hey, welcome to The Remnant. My name's Todd. I'm a pastor here. Big day for us. I think Andy talked about this. I wasn't in the room. I was chasing my child. But we get to baptize some folks today who have, decided to let the world know that they're with Jesus. So that's really exciting and cool. We have a Thanksgiving meal. And then we, have the big game. And I'm not talking about the Super Bowl, the only game that matters. Turkey Bowl 2024. Same day. Well, hey, I want to tell you guys a story. When I was in second grade, this is a true story, and this is burned in my memory. One of the first times I ever had a concept of, like, I don't know. It was one of the meanest things, I guess, I'd ever, like, it made me feel, I'd never seen someone beyond your own family. You're mean to your own family. We all know that. But I'd never seen someone kind of hurt someone, like, outside of, like, family stuff. So when I was in second grade, and I know for sure it was in second grade, we had a Christmas, like, exchange, right? You bring in, you come down, and everyone pulls a name, and you bring presents in. I can tell you their names and everything. Well, there was a guy, and he was so excited. I should give the names. We'll say, I always pick Bob. It's just so easy. No, there's a Bill. I can't use Bill. Bob. We'll go Bob again. Bob and Steve, okay? So Steve got Bob's name. And Steve, when it came time to, and they did this thing where they made everyone watch all the kids, like each person had to unwrap their gift in front of everyone, which, by the way, was a lot of pressure, both for the opener, but also the gift, because your gift's getting judged, right, by everyone in the room. Steve gave Bob, he unwraps the present, he was so excited. Steve comes running up, he's like, look what I got you. He opened the present, and I remember this. Anyone follow wrestling? Like, I'm not talking Olympic. Talking WWE type stuff. Back when it was WWF. Okay. There's like three people and then the rest of you are lying because some of you 100% do. Right? It was Sting. The wrestler Sting. Okay? And this was back, if you know wrestling, like when he had like the blonde hair and all that kind of stuff. And so he was so excited. He's like, look what I got you. And the guy literally, Bob, stood up and he's like, what is this trash? This is unbelievable. This is all you got me? And like threw it across the room. Steve, by the way, is a pretty cool guy, like, you know, cool kid who's popular, he's an athlete, but he started crying, which makes sense, right? You get up excited to give someone something, and this Bob looks at this and just spits in his face. I mean, he made a scene in front of everyone. It was so awkward, and I remember feeling, like, it was one of the earliest memories I can feel where I felt empathy in a deep way of, like, man, that guy, I hurt for him, right? Here's the thing. That seems like, oh, I would never do that. But we do that all the time. How does that happen? It was a cool gift, right? Some of you in this room, AJ, if he was in this room, if I gave AJ a Sting action figure now, he would be so excited. He would be dancing around, right? But for Bob, there's only one reason he would be upset. He already, in his mind, had what the gift needed to be. Right? You can only be disappointed if you already have an idea of what you think it's going to be. Make sense? Is that too deep for you? Slow it down. You got to give me a nod or I'll go longer and longer. I'm trying to get you done quick today. You got it? You with me, Vicky? You hear me today? Yeah. Good to see you. Right? So I started thinking about, when I was thinking about this week, and I'm a bit of a rebel. It's good and bad. And I don't like doing, if you've been to the Remnant a long time, I don't like doing messages around holidays. You know, you go to other churches, it's like it's a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. There's nothing wrong with that, but I don't like doing it. I don't know why, probably because that's the expectation. You think I'm going to do it. I don't know if I've ever done a Father's Day message. It's terrible, or a Mother's Day. But today, this week, I felt like I started thinking about, I was like, it's Thanksgiving. I don't want to do that. I literally, I want you to understand, I started writing this a couple weeks ago, threw that one aside and started to work on these other ones. And it kept coming back, the idea of Thanksgiving. But in order for me to talk about this, I need you to understand the definition of Thanksgiving. You think you know. Braylon thinks she knows. I can tell by her disinterest. You think you know what Thanksgiving is. You ready? You got this, Zeke? Thanksgiving? Okay, listen to this. I'm going to give you all the definitions. Go ahead, put the first one up. The expression of gratitude. By the way, this is literally, you can Google this. This is on Google, okay? The expression of gratitude, especially to God. If I say Thanksgiving, most of you, all of us have been trained because we're in America to immediately go, that's a noun, meaning it's a day, meaning it's a celebration, meaning it's a holiday. It's the expression of gratitude, especially to God. Second, It's a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. Here we go again, a public acknowledgement. You know why some of y'all fall asleep? I'm going to get you early. Because you can't even be thankful that you get to be in this warm room. You'd rather be home sleeping, right? Again, I always say this. Why come? If you're tired, stay home. I ain't going to come to your house and knock on your door, so why do you come to my house and go to sleep, right? Just kidding. Am I? No. Public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. Number three, the act, here we go again, of giving thanks. And four, a prayer expressing gratitude. Here's the crazy thing I realized. You look at this definition of the final one. Yeah, it's on there, a day of celebration, whatever. Guess what thanksgiving is? Look at the word, thanksgiving. It's a verb. It's an action. So if it's an action, right? If I tell you right now, ready? I'm walking. I'm jumping. I'm as grumpy as those of you in the crowd. Right? Here's my point. The last one's probably true, but am I jumping? Stay with me. I know you're like, where's he going? Am I walking? No, because that's delusional. You know that by the word itself, that means I can't just say I'm doing it. I have to make a step and do something in order to walk, to smile, to do whatever. And you have to do the same thing with Thanksgiving. See, we live in a culture, and it's so funny, the older you get, they always look at the kids and they're like, those kids, they just don't appreciate what they have. Adults are just older kids. That's all they are. That's all they are. And it's almost worse because they pretend they're not. Right? We sit around and we're obsessed with feeling. So you will give thanks when you feel like being grateful. You will be happy when you feel happy. You will say you're excited. You will thank someone when you feel thankful. But we're realizing here in the word itself, thanksgiving. I am giving something. I'll read a verse to you. We'll dive in. Today's going to be fast. I told you. It's kind of like the sermon series, Fast Food Light. Right? It's getting you prepared. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with the last sentence in verse 13 and going through 22. Why am I starting with the last verse and sentence in verse 13, because the other part's just about appreciating and respecting your leaders, and I know you don't need to hear that. Krista, you hear any of that? No, right? I know you don't need to hear that part, so I just skipped that, Ryan. The respecting leaders thing, no, we don't need to talk about that. We just need to move on, right? Respecting pastors, that's not important. Let's move to the important stuff. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you. That means we are energetically calling you. We are pleading with you. Challenging you, brothers and sisters. Warn those who are idle. Comfort the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Nice, Zeke. I like you put that. Right? Pray constantly. Listen to this. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't suffocate it. Don't despise prophecies. That doesn't mean telling the future when God's speaking, whether it's through teaching, whether it's through when you read Scripture, right? When people are calling you out. But test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Pause. This isn't in my notes. New people, guests that I'll never see again. You're probably going to think this is aimed at you. It's not. It's always aimed at the people in this church. But it's important. If the shoe fits, though. Unless you are the happiest person in the world, unless I could pull up your phone and see pure happiness, unless I could pull up your phone and see pure gratitude, unless I can pull up your phone, if I could somehow study your life and see that you've been just filled with joy all your life and everything is going great and you're perfect, can I ask you a question? Why can't you be open to the possibility, whether you believe in God or not, that there's something out there more than what you've been chasing? I've always, even when I wasn't a believer, I wanted to know what the truth was. Because I don't know about you, but, right, women and men leave the bed, right? They eventually go out. The relationships break up. Even when you get them, they don't fulfill everything. Alcohol bottles empty. Pill bottles go empty. All of this goes empty. And then you're stuck looking for the next thing that might make you feel thankful for a little bit. But we get so caught up in, you've been blinded to think distraction is the same thing as fulfillment. So, a lot of times, if your life is characterized, and I'll raise my hand so you don't feel alone. If your life is characterized by disappointment and discouragement and the focus on everything going bad in your life, by the way, I'm not the kind of guy that's delusional and like, hey, pretend bad things are good. No, but I'm saying if that characterizes your life, I'm here to tell you that's not the only way to live. But if you sit here and spend your time, I don't think I'm a great speaker, okay? I don't think I'm going to entertain you the whole time. But I know God is real, and if you're an intelligent person looking for something more, even if you don't believe, then listen for a nugget of truth. Because you're already here. Or go ahead, sleep. At least the people sleeping are honest. Because some of you just sleepwalk. Or, I like this one. There's a lot of members of this church that don't like me, guess. You won't believe that. You probably like me more than members of the church. They like what I helped build. They don't like me, right? So they'll sit around and they'll just read the Bible the whole time I'm talking, right? In general, by the way, I'm not talking about anyone. Or they walk out or whatever. I've never understood that. Because God speaks through a variety of ways, and if we believe God is real and we believe that God is moving in your life, then he can even use a scummy guy like me to possibly give you something to encourage you. Mini sermon. Back to the topic. Okay? When we look at this scripture, I had three different. I was going to give you three different ones and kind of show you how they all say the same thing, but I was like, we got a lot to do today. And that's just me. I would be going too deep and you'd end up going, where are we going with this? When I look at this, I go back to say, when I look at research, it says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is giving thanks the only thing that's God's will for you? No, of course, all the other things that it's saying in here, being at peace among yourself, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone, don't repay evil for evil, pursue what's good for one another and for all, rejoice always, pray constantly, but giving thanks in everything is part of God's will for you. Do you spend more time giving thanks? Maybe I'll make this more related to you. Do you give thanks for your spouse, or are you constantly critiquing them? You giving thanks for this season of singlehood in your life? Because let me tell you something. Ask the married people. Being married's great, right? It's a blessing, but you're gonna miss some of the parts about being single. Don't amen too much to that. That's a fact. What? So when we look at this, we see, in my opinion, I think we see a list that builds up to why and how we can be thankful. Because everyone in this room, me too, we tend to think that being thankful for what we have in life, having a spirit of gratitude and thanks. By the way, the Bible says, I looked this up, right? Over almost 170 times, more than that if you just consider praise. The Bible says, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. But that's not a delusional, I just don't believe God wants us to fake it. That's not a delusional, like, I'm going to pretend I'm thankful, right? When I step on a bee and get stung, I'm not thankful that I got stung by a bee. It's clearly not meaning that. So if God's saying be thankful, and now we realize that thanksgiving and being thankful is a verb, I'm always obsessed with this, then that means I can stop waiting to feel thankful, and I can do something to put myself in the mindset of having gratitude. Now, if you're wondering why I'm so passionate about this, I'm not good at this. I'm not. I'm a fixer. So I tell them, right? So let me tell you, like, and some of y'all are fixers too, and we like ourselves a little too much. We're like, we fix things. The problem with us fixers is we tend to see problems all the time. And when you tend to see problems all the time, it can be good, but it really, you get weary because everywhere you look, you see problems, right? And then, I don't know about you, but by the end of the week, I might start out like, everything's great. And I'm like, this is another thing that happened. Of course. Here's Todd Bland's favorite saying. Of course that would happen to me. Right? If Blake was in the room, is he in the room? Blake, you've seen my life, though. Is that somewhat true? Yeah, okay. There it is. I'm just justifying my negativity. But I'm not talking about living in delusional, like, oh, life. You know, some of you are going through real trials in your life right now, right? You're going through maybe marriage difficulties, financial difficulties, health issues, and that's a real thing, and God cares about that because he tells us, isn't it cool? He says, comfort those who need comforting. But sometimes we tend to tie our gratitude with circumstance. And I think what God's trying to get us to say is, no matter the circumstance in your life, I just told you all those things. Some of you have really serious health issues. You ready for this? No matter the circumstance in your life, right now I can tell you something to be grateful for. You're breathing. You're breathing. You're still here. Exactly. Now, my grandmother is passing away right now. Okay, in Kentucky right now. She's 99, just had her 9th birthday, lived a full life. She's like the matriarch. If you know Kentucky, like, she's the matriarch of our clan, okay? She lived a beautiful life. When I could easily tell you the easy thing of, like, would she love to just be here breathing right now in a church listening to a guy that's annoying and loud? Yeah, she'd like that. But that's an easy one. I look at my family. You know, when she first got diagnosed, by the way, the thing she's fighting through physically, she's stubborn. But let's say she had a very serious health issue. When that came, the first thing you think is, oh my gosh, why did this happen? And then you focus on that, and we've got to get this fixed, and we've got to get it cured. And sometimes I would imagine some of the family members focus so much on fixing the problem that they missed appreciating the time that they had. Like I said earlier with the little sting thing, right? The sting figurine. A lot of time our inability to be grateful is because we are so focused on trying to control outcome. But here's the illusion, and I'm a controller, so this is hard to say. We don't have any. We don't have any. We can control ourselves and our actions. That's it. So we can live our life worrying about what's going to happen, worrying about if this thing's going to work out, worrying about if God's going to move the way I want him to move in this situation, or we can remember his promise that he said, I will work all things out for the good of those who believe according to my purposes. So if the promise is he's always going to work out good, if you come up and go, Todd, what's the good in this? I'm probably going to go, I have no idea. I don't have any idea. But I know it's there. And I bet you do too. If you look back at your life at some of the times that were the hardest times, right? I've always been the guy, you know, some pastors, God bless them, they'll go, man, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'd trade some of my hardest times for anything. And I say this all the time, and I mean it. I wouldn't trade, if it meant I couldn't be where I'm at, I wouldn't trade it. So when we look at this, I want to say a few things. I'm going to give you a list. I want you to right now think about your life, all right? And I want you to take a second. I'm going to give you, maybe this is just me allowing myself to be negative. I want you to think about the challenges you're going through, the struggles, the things that aren't going well, right? Whatever that big one is, and you got them. Got it? You got it? You're thinking about it? Okay, good. Listen, that's still there. Set it to the side. Now count up in your head three reasons that you have to be thankful. I already gave you one. You're breathing. If you were sitting on a hospital bed getting ready to take your last breath, the fact that you're breathing right now, you'd be real grateful for it. That's hard. I get it. And I'm not trying to be negative, but that is hard to live in that. But it's true. There's so many times in my life, I don't know about you, where I was in a circumstance or a situation that, and it was bad, but it seemed like it was going to ruin my entire life, right? I'll give you an easy one. Young love, you break up, you have that big breakup, and it literally, emotionally feels like I am never going to recover. Here's the key, and here's what I've done. All I've done is waste time. I waste time. Because so many times we allow circumstances to swallow our life. I'm going to say it again. You do. You ever think about how many times you worry about the green piece of paper that you probably don't even have in your wallet, but is actually just a number on an app, and you were that worried about it? But if I were to come to you, right, you've heard that old saying, a guy comes to you and says, hey, do you want $10 million? You say, absolutely. Okay, great, but you die tomorrow. Do you still want it? And there's no one with a rational mind that's going to accept that, because we know deep down the value of things. We just don't live out of that. Am I losing you? Losing you, Emma? With me? Okay. So what do we do with this? When I look at this, when I look at this verse, and I'm going to give you a list. I know you want a list. It'll be good, right? Be at peace. Brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Comfort the discouraged. Idle also means disorderly, living in chaos, not moving, okay? Comfort the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See to it that no one pays evil for evil to everyone, blah, blah. Why is that matter? Listen, gratitude begins with perspective and humility. I've already given you the perspective part. Perspective says, I could have $10 million but die tomorrow. Which one do I really want? Some of you live your lives acting like the $10 million is the most important thing. Why? And guess what? The idea of the numbers and whether I can make a bill and all these things is swallowing your time. You know what I mean by that? Do I have to explain it? The worrying, the anxiety swallows your life. How many hours, minutes do you spend worrying about money? Some of you, if you're honest, oh my goodness. And that doesn't mean the money's not, you got to take care of business. But does the worrying, you ready for this, Jill? This is funny, I didn't make this up. Does worrying add a single minute to your life? I didn't write that. Does worrying make the money appear in the account? Dude, you ready for me to really get some of you guys? You want to know how weird we are as humans? You're in a money situation and you check your bank account app 4 or 5 times that day. Don't you even lie. I know you do. What is that? One of two things you're thinking. One, maybe if I open it this time, I'm going to have some more zeros in there. Magically. Right? The other thing is we're gluttons for punishment. You want to go, it is bad. How bad is it? It's still really bad. God's not saying to ignore. He wouldn't say to comfort those who need to be comforted if he's not saying that, like, stuff happens and we're going to feel bad and you shouldn't feel guilty for the fact that life happens. What I'm saying is separate that. Separate having to deal with tough times and trials and hurting and all that. That's going to happen. Separate that from the act of giving thanks. Because here's the thing. The act of giving thanks will lessen the pain of the circumstance. That's good. Because it makes you focus on all the good. Guys, I am an Eeyore. I am. And I look around, and I joke all the time. I can point to, like, a Luke is not an Eeyore. He's a delightful guy. AJ, if you know him. I'm looking around. There's a lot of Eeyores. I got to find other ones. Okay. Right? It's okay. We're in good company. Bethany, I can't use her all the time, but she's a joyful person. There's a lot of joyful. Gabby's a joyful person. There's a lot of joyful. By the way, just because I didn't say your name doesn't mean you're not joyful. I'm just saying those are people, like, I'm not that. Okay? I don't naturally do that. So I wouldn't tell you something to lie to you. I'm not going to be like, hey, do this thing that I certainly am not going to believe. I'm trying to look for it too. And as I look, I'm convicted by the fact that, you know, I sat in the back just now. I choke up all the time about this, man. You guys already know I got a lot of weaknesses. My big one's my daughter, okay? Because it was a blessing you never know you want until you have it. And then you go, oh, my goodness, what have I missed out on my entire life? I want 1,000 of these, right? And I'm sitting back there, and she's like, you may have heard her yell once. She had to go out. I went and brought her back in. And it's the little things, man. And she's dancing around as the worst. And I'm going, why do I ever get upset when I'm allowed to do that? When God allows me to dance with a little girl, why do I care if you're mad at me when I'm preaching? Because when I go out of this room, she's still going to say hi, Daddy, and dance with me again. But I get caught up in that. I get caught up in, if you're mad at me, if you're this, and then I get mad that you're mad at me when you haven't even told me you're mad at me. I just assume you are. You ever do that? That's just one thing. And you, some of you guys are like, well, I'm single and I don't have a girlfriend or a kid, so I don't have joy. Really? Yes, you do. Because I can tell you right now, I can't say this because you'll be upset, or I'll upset some people, but I can list some things I miss from when I wasn't, when I didn't have that, right? It doesn't mean I'd trade it, but there were so many good things that I just didn't appreciate. And I've brought this up several times over the last few weeks that I've been preaching of, and it's a warning to you. I wasted 3 to 5 years of my life in worry, in anxiety, in pain, physical pain, but I let that swallow my time. And you know what's funny? My self-focus on my misery not only stole my time, it stole other people's time. Don't say anything, Jericho. It stole your time, but you can't tell anyone, right? It stole people's time. I still do it. But that's what's so fascinating when I look at this. And again, if you want to talk to me, I can give you more because this is just one section. When I look at it, God's saying the same thing over and over again. Give thanks. Why would he say that? You think it's just because he's arrogant? No, he's saying when you don't miss these gifts because your life is a vapor. Enjoy them. Appreciate them. Gratitude begins with perspective and humility. I already gave you the perspective. Look at your life, all that, right? Can we agree? I've kind of given you maybe a thought for a second about perspective. Yes or no? Nod for me because you'll be grumpy. Thank you. Right? Here's humility. God is God and you're not. And that's hard to swallow. You can get mad. I can go out and yell at the sky. I can throw a rock at a cloud. I can do whatever I want. I can curse God. Guess what? Not going to change a single thing. He's God. I'm not. By the way, that's some of your problems in this room that don't want to believe in God. Because you're cool with love and all that, but you don't want to come to the realization that you're not God. And that's what it is. You want what you want when you want it, thinking it's going to lead you to what you want, but it doesn't really lead you to what you want. I did that intentionally. Think about it. If you're having a hard time being thankful, most likely you're living in short-sightedness. You're a prisoner of the moment. You get what that means? Jason, you're a straightforward shooter. Does that make sense? J-A-Y, Jason? Does that make sense? Yeah, he knows. He would tell me. You're a prisoner of the moment. J-A-S-O-N, does that make sense? Yeah. You're a prisoner of the moment. What do I mean by that? When I had a back injury, a lot of stuff. Lost my job. Had a back injury. Lost friendships. Sinned and lost, you know, respect in the community. Lost all these things. That all happened at once, okay? That was real. But I allowed those circumstances to rob me from the fact that I did have some good friends that stood by me. I did have family that loved me. I did have people, you know, I still was able to look back and see that God used me to do amazing things. I was still able to breathe, right? But I sat there and said, I'm so mad that I don't have these things that I believe I'm owed. I was short-sighted. I let what was happening become my entire life. Present circumstances, if you're in this room right now, ask yourself, and I can't call you out on it, but present circumstances might be blinding you. They're blinding you to the reality of how many blessings you have. It doesn't mean that what you're going through right now isn't serious, heartbreaking, difficult, or that we should even ignore those things. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God's saying. It means always leaving room in your life to not miss the moment. What's the moment? For me, it was dancing in the back with my daughter while you guys were singing worship. For you, it might be the fact that you get to watch a good movie or sip that Starbucks you're sipping on right now. Or the fact that you get to watch three guys in a little bit proclaim their faith to Jesus. What an honor you're given. It means leaving room, not letting that big thing I told you about earlier take all of the room in your life. Push it aside. I know it's in there. You can't get it out of the house, right? But you got a big house with a lot of rooms. Maybe you need to go to another room for a while. Go to the room with a nice cozy bed that you appreciate, right? Go to the room where you have your fancy china and coffee machine or whatever else. Oh, they're not here today. The people that say I can't use their fine china. Anyway, it means always leaving room to not miss the moment. What's your moment? What are you missing out on right now? What have you let circumstance steal? My marriage isn't what I want it to be, and I will beat this spouse into submission. Not physically. That's a whole different issue. Okay? But emotionally, spiritually, mentally. By the way, everyone immediately goes, yeah, men do that. Oh, ladies, ladies, ladies. Let's see if you stick around to the new year. I got a message for you. Because you do the same thing. I'm going to beat him into submission. I'm going to make him the man I want. Woo. How'd you feel if he wasn't there tomorrow? Guys, clearly I don't need to say that to you. I talk to you all the time mean, right? Not letting trials of our life swallow all of our life. You're breathing. Listen to me. I know you hate me. I'm a big goofball. You're breathing right now. Don't miss that. I don't miss that. I got a list for you. Our members like lists. If you're a guest, you probably aren't going to take a note, but if you are, here it is. There. Thanksgiving's the title. Guess what I did here? I flipped it around. Giving thanks. Here's the keys to giving thanks that we can take just from this section. But hint, it's all throughout the Bible. Okay? You ready? Luke, you ready for this? All right. I haven't got to say that in a while. Good to see you, man. Number one, live life. You want to stop? You want to give gratitude? Live the life you're given. Be in drive, not neutral. What tends to happen is, if you think of a car situation, I hear a weird sound, and you just put it in neutral and say, well, I'm not going anywhere. What if the engine blows up? Put that sucker in drive and start driving. Quit worrying about it, because guess what? It'll blow up in neutral just as much as it will in drive. It's interesting in this verse, how do I know that? God says, you're probably like, everyone reads warn the idle, and you think like he means the lazy, which that's true, but why is that important? I'm going to make this really specific. Guys, tangible advice, go to talk to psychologists, the people you watch online, Jordan Peterson, whatever. They tell you this, doing stuff and living life tends to make you focus less on what's bad in your life. That's a fact. Lazy people in the room, you don't like that. But lazy people, you're the saddest people. And I get it, right? You're not even trying to be lazy, but you're just stuck in the circumstance and you're not moving. You gotta live. That doesn't mean, well, I've said this before. People ask me, Juju asked me to do my testimony. I might do that someday. Because you guys are, I'm always referencing these times in my life. But there was a time in life when I was super depressed, going through a ton of stuff, and I did this thing I called the Yes Challenge. All right, and I've tried to do it here a little, and then I cave because I'm afraid. I literally said yes to everything I was asked. 1:30 in the morning, you asked me to go to Steak and Shake, I said yes. It didn't matter if I was in bed or not. If I saw it, I went. You asked me to go crochet with you, I said yes. You know what happened? Guess what? Over time, I started enjoying those things that I did. At first, this is so depressing and embarrassing. My buddy asked me to go to Michigan with him in the summer. Man. This is literally one of the most embarrassing things in my life. So I'm here with all these rich people. They're all dentists. They're in a boat. Everybody's having fun. They've invited me to their family fun. I'm in the back of the boat. My girlfriend at the time broke me up. She did. Broke up with me. We're driving the boat. Everyone's tubing. They're like, you want a tube? But no, and I'm not kidding you. This is so embarrassing. I sat in the boat. I think about this all the time. You ever have moments you think that you feel cringy? I was sitting in the boat, and I just did this the whole time. For hours, and they were trying, and my buddy finally yelled at me. He's like, what are you doing? You wait, that wouldn't eat a sandwich. You're like, would you like this nice sandwich? I'm like, no, that's all right, I'm fine. I look back at that, and I was like, I would love to have a weekend with that guy. You know what I mean? A great time with those people, and I just wasted it because all I could think about was like, she hurt me, my life's over. I didn't actually live. So listen, stop being lazy and start doing. I don't like exercise. Who cares? Get up and go walk. It's hard. I'm telling you right now, just the energy to focus, some of you all really need to focus on not falling, right? Putting one foot in front of the other keeps your mind, there's at least a little part of your mind focused on something other than your circumstances. It doesn't have to be exercise. It could be anything. Live life. Go do the thing you want to do. No, this is not justification to leave your wife and run off and buy a Camaro. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is live life. Live it. Stop waiting for life to happen to you and go live it. Get your life in order. Start moving. Oh my gosh, I have nothing. I don't have a house. I don't have this. I don't have that. Guess what? If you keep thinking about that and the fact you don't, you'll never have anything. Get up and start moving. Number two. When I look at this, right, what does he say here? We exhort you, brothers, to warn those who are idle. You're supposed to do that, by the way. You're supposed to go to your friends that aren't living life and tell them, hey, start living. But you're supposed to as well, right? And comfort the discouraged. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. What does that mean? In order to do that, guess what, Jill? Can I think about my problem and love you, be patient with you, comfort you? Am I going to be able to do both of those things well? Waiting for somebody to nod. Yes, you can. Yeah, listen, no, you can't. You can't. You cannot. What I'm saying is you cannot. I know I said it weird. That's why I wanted you to explain it. Tell me. You can. I can. If. Slow down, Todd. You're just so excited. All right. Let me put it this way. I'll just say it and then we'll go. Look in love outwardly. You want to have gratitude? Look for ways to love other people. Look outside of yourself and situation, because there's always someone in a worse situation than you. If you look for opportunities to do that, right? If you look for ways to, I mean, genuinely, make a game of it. I'm going to drive out today. Lionheart, guys, you had to do this. That's our men's program. Drive out. I got to go find somebody to be kind to. That ends up being quite a journey in and of itself. It's hard. Look for it. Well, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to impose. No, you just want to be a bum. Go to their house and say hi. Look and love outwardly. I love that one in Christian circles because you all go, yeah, I get it. I know how to love. Move on. No, you don't. You stink at it. That's why God has to tell us to do it over and over and over again. Because unless you did this week, I comforted the discouraged, I helped the weak, and I was patient with everyone. Everyone leave the room if you didn't do that, and everyone's gone. We can be better at that. Okay? With that, number three is kind of tied to that. Focus. I put this way intentionally. I need you to focus. Focus on what? You ready, David? Focus on being a blesser, not a whiner. What do I mean by that? Well, what does it say here? See to it that no one pays evil for evil, but always pursue what's good for one another and for all. Interesting. It's talking about if I'm outwardly focused, I'm focused on looking for ways to bless. But if I'm focused on the way that you're not blessing me, Sean, I'm going to find a reason. I'm going to find something you didn't do to love me today. And then I'm going to get sad because I'm going to go, Sean doesn't love me. Oh, by the way, Jason doesn't love me either. And Alexis doesn't love me. And everyone doesn't love me. Moving on. Hey, that's your first time. Right? That's what happens. So what the focus is, be a blesser, not a whiner. Look, be a person that looks to bless people instead of demanding that people bless you. Because if you sit around going, man, I can't wait to be blessed today, who's going to bless me? It's my pocket for your money. No, I'm just kidding, right? You're not going to do that. If I do that, I'm going to be sad. Number four, choose joy. This is the craziest thing about Christianity. And I, again, struggle with this. Look at all that sweat coming through. Man, I'm fired up. I'm like those little southern preachers. By the way, if you're hot in this room, blame Jill. I'm just kidding. Because they're always complaining. not just her. Choose joy. You can't always choose to be happy, the feeling of happiness. But I can choose to be joyful. That's what's beautiful. God doesn't promise us happiness. I always view it this way. This is my little saying. It's helped me a lot. And I think that's cool because, like, joy is happiness on steroids. Because happiness is dependent on your circumstances and joy is above it. Right? Joy says, it doesn't matter my circumstances. You ever met those people? You ever met the Tigger people compared to the Eeyore people? Which one you want to be around? I want to be around the Tigger people. Right? They are joyful. Choose joy. What does it mean? It's going to feel fake. But you know what I've learned? It's not fake to be loving and kind when you don't feel like it. It's choosing to be holy. It's being a disciple. It's following Jesus. It's not faking, it's following. The world does what it feels. Right? Disciples follow Jesus despite how it feels. Number five. Woo, I told you it's going to be done early. Some of you are like, this is early? Man, I go to 12:45 sometimes, and I'll never see you again. Okay, number five. Follow God. Now, here's where I lose some of you. Okay, I don't like that. You know why you don't like that? Because, again, you have a problem thinking you're God. My daughter, I'll use her again, okay? I use myself, but my daughter thinks that she knows better than me. She's three. And I promise you she does. She thinks she knows very, very much better than me in all ways, okay? She thinks if she wants, literally this happened the other day, if she wants seven brownies and I don't give her that, she rages because she believes that's a completely reasonable thing, okay? I know that if she does that, because this has happened every now and then, she eats it, and then she says, my stomach doesn't feel good. My tummy hurts, right? Because she's captured in the moment, that's all she wants. Following, I know better for her because I want what's best for her overall, not in the moment. God wants what's best for you, which isn't always going to equal what you want. So you want to be a grateful person, follow God, the do's and the don'ts. The don'ts lead to shame. Even Christians in this room, when you do things, before I was a Christian, when I would do things that I now know God didn't want me to do, I felt shame about it. You know what I never felt shame about? Loving someone, even before I was a Christian. You get what I'm saying? God's way leads to a heart that is filled with gratitude because we're doing good. When we do evil, bad things happen to us, which leads us to more poor circumstances. And before you go, that's not true. Yes, it is. Right? If I kill someone, let's start at this dream, that isn't good for me either. Because something's going to happen, right? We want to be grateful and give thanks. Follow God. Do the do's and don't do the don'ts. And don't pick and choose which are important. Do the best you can. Does that mean you have to live your life trying to earn something? No, it just means when it comes to your mind, because he does that sometimes, doesn't he? Something doesn't bother you. You could do so. I could like be short with you for a year. All of a sudden, I'm short to Ben one time, and that day, God's like, that was mean. And I'm like, I don't want to say sorry to Ben. He's bullying me. Right? Yeah, that's right, Ben. I'm calling it out. He doesn't bully me. And God says, no, today I want you to change that. Follow God. Six, right? I should have went with my bad. Letters. F. I like this one. This is simple. Keep the good, ditch the evil. Listen to this verse. At first, it seems like it's just another do good, don't do evil. But I think it's deeper than that. Don't despise prophecies, what's coming from God. People are going to say what's coming from God, right? Don't immediately say it's not God. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Look at your life and keep the good and chuck the evil. Ditch the evil. What is evil? The bad stuff. Again, I ain't talking about your rude husband or wife. Right? But I'm serious, because me, I'll look at the good and the evil and I'll go, I got to focus on this evil. I got to focus on this bad thing. No, look at it and go, eh. The things in your life that you're doing, let's make it real tangible, that you know aren't good for you, you're not a slave. So if you're in this room and you're a Christian, you're not a slave to that. You're choosing it. Stop doing it. I'm not talking about, well, I'll mess up again. No. Make the decision to be done with it. Keep the good, chuck the evil. Make sense? Yeah? Lucy, you think that makes sense? She's so shy. Lucy, come on up here in front of everyone. I'm just kidding. She would never talk to me again. I love you. She's going to come play some music. I told you it'd be done early today. Oh, where's Jaden at? Oh, he normally yells at me if I don't say their name. Sydney, please come play the music. Thank you. I appreciate that about it. I want you to consider today, listen, I know, remember I told you earlier to think of, here's another little clue about how we are in culture. Let's see if you're honest. I won't make you raise your hands, but I wish you were courageous enough to do it. When I told you to think of that bad thing, how fast did that come to your mind? When I told you to think of the three good things, that took a minute, didn't it? Think about that. That doesn't mean you're bad. It means we've been wired to look for bad. You got a lot of good. And hear me. Some of you in this room are going through things that I think about you sometimes and I want to cry. Believe it or not, I have emotions, okay? Because I can't imagine going through what you're going through. So I'm not going to make light of that. And I don't know why. I don't know why you're suffering. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I know that this isn't the way it's supposed to be, and that someday he's going to come back and fix it all, and we won't suffer anymore. And the Bible says he'll wipe away every tear, and all these evil things are gone. But you know what's crazy about some of you in this room, the way you handle, because some of you do this naturally, you're grateful people. You don't realize the impact that you're having on me, on the people around you, on the kingdom of God, by the gratitude you show in the midst of your suffering. You have real things you're going through. Even when I joke with the single people, like, it's not, it's a deep pain when you desire companionship and it feels like you can't get it. That's a real thing. But you can't let that, you're putting all your hope on a person, man. That's already unfair to begin with. You've got to realize the blessing God's given you, that you can do things in your freedom that you're not going to be able to do someday. I can even go make it smaller. Some of you all skip church every other week. I'm talking to members, guests, and right? And you ask, and you really ask yourself, why? Listen, I don't get a cookie for you coming, but it's like, why? Why does that happen? Because you no longer appreciate the incredible opportunity you've been given. And I know it seems unfair and it's a guilt thing, but if I were to take a believer in China and say, you get to come today openly and worship the Lord with other saints, you don't think they'd trade you in a heartbeat? Because they could sleep in every day, right? Every Sunday, if they want, ain't nobody going to yell, oh, you're just being smart. Are you letting the circumstances and the trials that are very real, and sometimes you have to go into that room and take care of it. I'm not saying that, but in the house of your life, has it taken over every room? Because if that's the case, you're letting it steal your life. So guess what? I'm going to leave you with this. Count them up. Right? I was going to do this if I was actually very well prepared and I would have had a piece of paper under your seat and you pulled it up and had a list, so you just got to make it yourself. Okay? Make five things. Start with that. Five things in your life that you are blessed to have. And you know if they weren't there, that all of a sudden that becomes the next thing that you are crushed by. Stop letting circumstances, and I'm talking to myself because I do this all the time, man. I'm an Eeyore guy. And I get mad when people tell me to be happy, right? I want to be miserable. That's so ridiculous. Hey, you've got blessings. Don't tell me that, right? I get it. But that's because I've given up hope in those moments. If you're a believer in this room, I'm going to give you the number one reason, and I'm going to tie this to everyone else. You have a really big reason to give thanks to. And that's because of the good news. If I say the gospel, I lose some of you. It sounds corny. You want to leave immediately, blah, 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 blah. I get it. But maybe you haven't heard what it really is. Here's the reason it's good news, and it starts with bad news. God created everything. Doesn't matter what you believe. I don't believe in God. Doesn't matter. You cannot believe in gravity. Jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground. God made everything, and he made it perfect. And he said, there's only one rule. I'm God, and you're not. Let me tell you what right and wrong is. That's it. And we said no, and we rebelled against God, and you and I both do it. And because of that, like a branch snapped off a tree, because we chose to be off and snapped off of him, we're dying. Sin entered the world. Sin is a real thing. Now, it's been hijacked to mean just like this, all the bad things you do, but it's actually much deeper than that. All the bad things you do are just a symptom of the disease that has infected mankind called sin. It's the selfishness, it's the hatred, it's the war, it's the evil. You know, you look in the news and you go, how could someone do this to someone else? How do they get there? Because something inside of them is evil and broken and wrong, and some of us have varying degrees of that. We look around the world, why is it so broken? It's broken because the creation has rebelled against the Creator. And because of that, we're on our own and we're not good at being God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Perfection is the standard. The wages of sin, the wages for our wrongdoing is death. It's death of relationships. It's death of when you do wrong, bad things happen. But it's your death, your eternity. Hell is real. And you can sit here and go, why would a blah, 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 blah. He doesn't send anyone to hell. He gives everyone an opportunity to not go to hell. And we don't like that idea. because in doing that means we've got to walk away from what we've done our whole lives. We've got to walk away from what we want sometimes and trust that he knows better, just like my daughter's going to have to trust that she can't have 7 brownies. So Todd, what's going on? The wages of sin and death, that's bad. Everyone in this room has fallen short of the glory of God. The standard is perfection. If you want to be with God, we've all fallen short. That's the bad news. The good news is when we couldn't get to God, religion doesn't get you there. Good deeds doesn't get you there. It doesn't matter. If me and Michael Jordan in his prime are jumping to the moon, it doesn't matter that he jumps higher than me. Neither of us are any closer to the moon. So the good person you know is no closer to the perfection of God than the worst person you know in the big scheme of things. That's reality. We all need a Savior. And so what did God do? He came to save us. He invaded this earth. Jesus Christ is real. He is God made flesh. He existed. No historian will say that. Even unbelieving historians tell you that Jesus of Nazareth lived a life, walked around, miracles were attributed to him, etc. He told us how to live. God came into our mess and said, this is how you live. This is what I want you to be. This is what I made you to be. And then he did something incredible. He said, you can be there again. You can be with God again. But in order for that to happen, you can't just have payment for what you've done in the past, because guess what? You'd do it again. You've got to have something. You've got to have something that goes past, present, and future. So this perfect man that did not sin, God made flesh, died on a cross. He took that death that is meant for all of us. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Over 500 witnesses and numerous historical sources attest to the risen Savior, that he rose from the dead. Everyone knows that. His disciples, his apostles, all of them chose death over denying it. And if they lied, right? If you're faced with, if I lied for something, about something, and someone says, I'm gonna kill you, just tell me you didn't lie, I'm gonna admit it. All of them died because it happened. So here's the good news. You're separated from God. You can't get your way to holiness. You can't get your way to heaven, but he can. The Bible says if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. What does that mean? God, I need you. Jesus, I believe in you. I don't understand it all. I'm not going to be perfect. It's not perfection. That's what some, you're not ever going to be perfect. I've done worse things now than I did before I was a Christian, sometimes in some ways. He holds on to us, but what happens is we come, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. I turn away from what I've done and I'm going to follow you, Lord. I don't know what it looks like, but I believe you are who you said you are. If you do that, immediately. You got to say it. You got to pray it, right? If you're hesitant to say it, you don't really mean it. Isn't that funny how God knows us? Confess with your lips and believe it. You're going to have that opportunity today. Maybe you've been living a life of not gratitude. Maybe you need to sit here and just take this time, these few minutes, to think about the good things in your life. Maybe you need to repent for being ungrateful. That means just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And maybe you're in this room and you said, man, I don't get it. And this weird guy who's sweating in a sweatshirt, he don't make any sense, but that part made sense. Don't leave without having your eternity secured, because that's the beautiful thing. You can be forgiven, restored, transformed. Yeah, let's go, right? Whatever you do, don't leave the same as you came in, because if you do, you're choosing to.